Go ahead and give another hand clap of praise unto the Lord tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in the Lord's house on a Tuesday evening. I know work may have been a little tough today. I know people probably could have got on your nerves a little bit today. That's all right. You can go ahead and admit it. We're all human. Nobody's perfect. But I'm excited for the series that we have been working on for the month of May. My birthday's actually in 7 days, so it's kind of fitting. I don't know about you, but this series has really opened my eyes to the different things of prayer. And if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to take your attention to Mark chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 9. But before we go, again, we are continuing our series on dangerous prayers. We've learned about the shackles of a safe prayer. We've learned about search me. But tonight, we're going to learn about a prayer that I'm sure everyone has thought about praying a time or two. Some of us may have even prayed this prayer before, but the thought of praying it has scared you due to the outcome that this prayer could bring to your life. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark 14, reading verse 3 through 9. If you don't have your Bible, the words are provided on the screen behind me. Mark 14, 3 says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it onto his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor,' and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Tonight, the second segment of this series, I want to teach on a dangerous prayer called "Break Me." Break me. Anybody in here, when you ever hear the word "break me," you kind of get a little on edge a little bit. But tonight we're going to learn about a prayer called "Break Me." And as I was studying on this, it really opened my eyes to a couple different things in life. You may be seated. As I'm studying this, of course, we've learned about the shackles of prayer, the search me. But when you start learning about the prayer "break me," you really get some thoughts running in your head of, what do I really need the Lord to break me of? But we hear the term in Scripture and wonder what an alabaster box really means. If we don't fully understand what this is, then we cannot fully appreciate the gift of Mary as she poured out her alabaster box over Jesus. That the alabaster box, or referred to as a jar, is mentioned in three places in the Bible. But before we go there, anything that I'm about to ask is as much directed towards me as it is to you. This topic is a result of my own conviction, and the questions that I'm posing are ones that I have been wrestling with or thinking about and will probably continue to wrestle with, because no one is perfect. What each of us consider precious may widely vary between each person. If you're a wife, mother, working professional, you may include your spouse, children, or your career in your jar. Perhaps certain friendships, memories, or healthy routines and habits are in there as well. These are all sound answers, especially since you cannot put a price tag on most of them. The absence of these things from your life would undoubtedly be detrimental or devastating to some degree. All these things require surrender, trust, and faith. You see, letting go of our children as they grow, they make mistakes, they mature, trusting the Lord with our marriage, our careers, and faithfully stewarding our time, treasure, and talent are all easier said than actually done. Are these things in your life that you are holding on to, maybe even subconsciously, that are holding you back, keeping you up at night, causing you great anxiety, fear, or anger? What barriers are you putting up around your heart tonight that you need to allow Jesus to break through and actually tear down? Things that you wouldn't typically consider precious, but they're taking up a huge amount of space in your life. Sometimes the costliest things we need to pour out at the feet of Jesus require our humility, confession, and repentance. Do you harbor resentment toward someone you love? Is there unresolved conflict with someone in your life? Who do you need to ask Jesus for help with forgiving? Have you grieved something or someone at length? Do you need to humbly acknowledge a destructive behavior or pattern and courageously ask for help? Are these idols that needs to be removed from your life? The sinful woman certainly didn't think twice about the cost of the fragrant perfume in her alabaster box. She willingly shattered the jar and emptied the whole valuable contents at Jesus' feet. There is something so liberating about confession. Brutal honesty and transparency can actually cut like a knife. Anybody like anybody that's brutally honest? I know I don't. I'll be 100%. Man, growing up, my dad was brutally honest. Dad, I love you. I know you're probably watching from Florida, but man, brutal honesty is one thing that I'm not good with. Pastor, I'm not good with confrontation. So if you come to me with brutal honesty, I'm going to tuck my tail and run. But you see, just because brutal honesty and transparency can cut like a knife, but it can also break chains and lift heavy yokes of burden from our shoulders. The beautiful relief is nothing is going to catch Jesus by surprise. He already knows everything. He's just waiting for us to realize these things for ourselves and come to Him with hands open wide. So bring your alabaster box full of your marriage, your children, your possessions, your career, your body, your health, your mental health, your treasured memories. Bring your flask full of anger, bitterness, resentment, apathy, unforgiveness, selflessness, fear, uncertainty, and addiction. It doesn't matter what you're carrying, what you've been through, or what you've actually done. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The reference for the alabaster box is to the woman Mary of Bethany. This is the same woman from the story of Mary and Martha. And she boldly approached Jesus and poured out her expensive perfume to anoint him. If anybody has ever studied anything about the alabaster box, back then, it was pretty much a year's worth of wages. So everybody think in your mind how much you make in a year. Okay? You take that money and you buy this jar or this box of perfume just to take it to some man and just at his feet. Man, I don't know about you, Pastor, but I couldn't imagine spending that much money on a jar just to drop it and break it. But you see, her action was looked down upon by fellow onlookers, but however, it was greatly appreciated by Christ himself. These boxes were made from a stone found near Alabastron in Egypt. The woman broke this vessel. She broke off, as was usually done, the long and narrow neck so as to reach the contents that was in the container. This stone resembles marble, but it's a little bit softer in texture, and hence very easily wrought into boxes. But you see, the Bible goes on to share that the breaking of the box and perfume would have been very costly to Mary. There's three places in the Bible that this alabaster box or jar only appears in these three places. Matthew 26 and 7. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which he poured on his head and as he was reclining at the table. Mark 14, 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard, and she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Luke 7 and 37. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with this alabaster box of perfume. But you see, Mary at Bethany did not just decide to randomly go anoint Jesus and give him her everything. We see a clear relationship between Mary and between Jesus. She sat at his feet many times regularly as she listened and learned from him as a teacher, but more importantly, as a friend. She experienced great loss, and she came to comfort during the death of her brother, or Jesus came to comfort during the death of her brother Lazarus when Jesus eventually rose him from the dead. The deeper her relationship, the more this moment meant to Mary and to Jesus. This was not impulsive. It was not a rooted trust and an action of surrender of Jesus, but the alabaster box can be applied in different ways. In one view, the box can represent our own lives. We ourselves can come broken like the box before God and surrender to his sacrifice over our sins. We can have true freedom in that unhindered release of control. And the box can also symbolize giving God our best and our all. This was Mary's first fruits in a way. She did not bring the least. She brought her absolute best and most expensive item to pour over a more than worthy Savior. She believed Jesus. She anointed him even before his death and burial. And Mary teaches us to give the Lord our whole heart and our whole lives. We are called to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. I'm sure we've all heard it before. Pick up your cross and follow me. Matthew 16, 24 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.'" Mary denied herself of her most valuable possessions and gave Jesus her absolute everything. All that this world has to offer us is nothing compared to what Christ has to offer us. Tonight we're talking about the prayer, "Break Me." A prayer that when you pray it, you're taking the risk of God actually breaking you completely. God, break me. Break me to reshape me into what you want me to be. Break me to reshape me into the father you want me to be. Break me and reshape me into the mother you want me to be. Break me and reshape me into the child of God that you want me to become. God, break me. A break me prayer is a powerful plea to God, acknowledging our imperfections and seeking his transformative power to break down our pride, self-righteousness, and any harmful patterns so we can be more open to God's will. It's a prayer of vulnerability, and it's a desire to be molded and shaped by God's hands. In fact, this prayer has the potential to open your heart to the work of God like nothing else. In 1 Samuel, we find the story about the prayer of a woman in her brokenness. This woman of God, whose name means favored, didn't feel very favored at all. In fact, Hannah felt broken due to her inability to have children. And the Bible says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. In other words, these were prayers of anguish and brokenness made to the only one who could meet her most desperate need. And God did. He met Hannah at this point of her absolute brokenness. He heard her whispered prayers. He heard her prayers expressed in groanings too deep for words. And in her brokenness, he not only blessed her, but he blessed all generations. Out of her prayer, it was her son Samuel who was born that would eventually anoint King David. There's another story of brokenness in the New Testament. This one about a different kind of woman, a woman who had experienced a different kind of brokenness. The Bible tells us that while Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster box of very expensive perfume and made a pure indignation that she wanted to be broken. Now, we know that this was a different kind of woman from Hannah, who we found worshiping, because Luke tells us that this woman had lived a sinful life, which explains why she would have this very expensive perfume. You could say it was her calling card. Her smell said that she was available, but now she no longer had a use for it because one day she met Jesus. And for the first time, maybe ever, she was loved appropriately and treated with dignity. And it was that encounter with Jesus that had broken her and totally transformed her. And so when she heard that Jesus was in town, she honored him in the most sacrificial and extravagant way that she knew how. Verse 3 said, she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. It was this simple act of worship, the breaking and pouring, that was so much more extravagant than any of those present could understand. Mark tells us in verse 4, some of those present were saying indignantly that to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. They didn't understand the meaning of this, that the breaking and the pouring out of this most valuable possession to Mary was her literally giving Jesus her whole life. Not only was she prophetically preparing his body for burial, but number two, the pouring out of that perfume represented her leaving her past behind. And so she broke that alabaster box, signifying that there was no going back. She was all in. And so she worshiped Jesus in this one selfless, extravagant moment of worship. In verse 6, Jesus said to those who were gathered, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." He praised Mary because she had done a wonderful thing, and in her brokenness, in this act of worship, she had poured out everything she had, much like Jesus was about to do. In fact, Matthew tells us that just before Jesus died, as he was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." You see, Jesus was poured out as he gave his body, spilling his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we too could be poured out in surrender. Just like Hannah was broken in her infertility and continually poured out her prayers seeking the favor of God, or the sinful woman breaking the alabaster box and pouring out the expensive perfume on Jesus in worship, recognizing that she had been saved from her broken situation, we too need to be broken And we too need to be poured out. And yet too many of us are consumed with entertaining ourselves, content with what we've got, and we're oblivious to what exactly in the world is going on around us that is grooming in anguish. The Bible says that there is an emergency. The whole creation has been groaning as in the plains of childbirth right up to the present time. And yet we are sitting here watching our clocks, worried about what time the game comes on, when we should be broken over the lost souls that are around us. He died for us, not for those who have it all together, not for those who think they're better than others. No, the Bible says that he died for the ungodly. He didn't die because of what he did, but he died because of what you and I did. And yet here we are watching the clock, worried about whatever, busy entertaining ourselves, when there's never been a more urgent time in history of the world than now. I'm believing that it's time to rise up and pray some dangerous prayers tonight. You know, we need to pray like Jesus did. In fact, when he went into the garden to pray, knowing that the next day they were going to actually take his life, he lifted his eyes to heaven and poured out and prayed and said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus prayed a dangerous prayer because he was committed. Jesus was all in. And so when they laid that cross on his shoulders and when he climbed that hill, he was willing to go the extra mile for the same people who shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so Jesus was willing to fight for those who would unfollow him, those who tried to block him, and those who refused to absolutely believe in him. It's time for us to start praying a dangerous prayer, to be willing to pray, "God, break me, because the time is short." We don't have time for games. It doesn't matter what people say about you or what people think about you. It's time to get real, because the Bible says this is the last hour. You see, this is important because you and I are living in the end times. This is the last hour, and we are in a season of unfolding judgment. We've heard it time and time again. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. Watch the news. The news will show you we are living in the last days. It's time for you and I to get serious, because there are people all around us that are going to hell. In fact, we need to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. You can see it in the news. It's happening all around us. God is beginning to stir things, but it is going to begin here in the church. I believe God is preparing this church for a great harvest of souls. And so I want to encourage your dangerous prayer tonight, your invitation for God to break you, because we connect with others more deeply through our brokenness. We want God to do all types of works in us, remembering that he was poured out, and being willing to respond to his invitation so that we might be broken and poured out as well. One thing I always found fascinating is that Peter was there the night when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his followers. And in fact, not only was he gathered around the table with the others, but he boasted that he would never deny Jesus. He said, "I'm ready to go to prison and to death with you." But it was just hours later that he absolutely denied Jesus, not just once, but three times. We all know the story. But the Bible tells us at that moment, the third time he denied Jesus, just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. You see, Peter was actually broken. And there are some of you here that are probably hurting right now. And you're in the middle of something right now. And others of you are going to get to that place where you're breaking and everything seems to be falling apart around you. That's where Peter was. But that wasn't the end of the story, because after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus came to Peter and forgave him. He restored him to a position of leadership because he knew that those who have been broken will become so much more useful to his kingdom. As we come to a close tonight, if you could all stand all over this house and the musicians can come quickly, I would encourage you to pray a dangerous prayer like Jesus did. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. God, break me, shape me, mold me. Because when you're in that place of brokenness, you'll learn to fully depend on God, and you'll see him doing a healing work in you that you'll never discover any other way. When the woman broke open the alabaster box and poured it all out, she was symbolizing giving her absolute all. Would you consider praying a very dangerous prayer tonight? God, break me so that I could know you. God, break me so I can get rid of my pride, my self-righteousness, whatever sins there is. Break me so that I can serve you with not just some of my life, but all of my life. And our brokenness is when we are going to find God shaping and molding our lives to have more joy, to have more peace and more understanding. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm willing to pray the dangerous prayer of break me. I want to see my children continue to grow and live for God. I want to see your children continue to grow and live for God. I want to see my lost loved ones find their way to God because of my willingness to pray a dangerous prayer of break me. To pray an uncomfortable prayer of God, break me, mold me, not my will, but thy will. And if you think about a potter, I'm sure all of you know about the potter wheel. But if you think about a potter, what the potter does is he actually takes this lump of clay and he will actually take it and throw it on this spinning wheel. And if it doesn't land perfectly, you know what the potter does? Picks it back up, slams it again. He will continuously do this until everything is balanced. Once everything is balanced, the potter will actually take a little bit of water and he will start shaping it with his hands. And he'll start molding it into what he wants it to be. But you see, when the potter doesn't actually start forming the way the potter wants it, you know what he does? He breaks it. Why? Why would a potter break something that he has worked so hard and got everything so balanced that now he's willing to break it just to restart all over again? Because once he restarts, he takes that clay and he will rework that clay until it actually has the willingness to form to the potter's hands and become something more beautiful than what would have been made before he had broke the clay. It's the same way in our lives. God has to break us before we can be shaped and molded into something more beautiful than what we are. I'm not saying that your life isn't going great. I'm not saying that you may not be on the mountain. Some of you may be in the valley. But we got to allow God to shape and mold us, to take us and bounce us on the spinning wheel, balance us, and use his hands to create us in his will. Not our will, in his will. So tonight I encourage you to pray this dangerous prayer of, Lord, break me. Break me to shape me and mold me into what you want me to be tonight.